Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Is sponsored.
The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's the best of the John Frederick Show, y'all!
Colonel Mike, West Virginia, we know you don't have the coronavirus because nothing reported in West Virginia.
Well, John, let me just tell you something. You know, we've been away since 1863, so we don't get the 19. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Since 1863. But apparently, I got a scoop last night. There's a possibility of two in the county. Mm. So I'll let you know later on, maybe tomorrow or the next day.
Thank you.
I have some EMS friends. There's a lot of EMS meetings out here. On the school issue, it's 2 weeks, and it's probably going to be prolonged, like you said, till the end of the year.
That's what I think.
Washington County shut down. They gave the kids in Washington County, which is Hagerstown, so on in that area, they gave the kids enough homework for like 6 weeks. So, you know, it's all kinds of crazy stuff going on out here. Walmart is now open only until, I think, 8 o'clock. They shut the 24 hours. The Food Lions, the Martins, which are like giants, shelves are gone, you know, everything. It's like panic attack time out here.
Right.
But all in all, churches were opened, and unlike other parts of the country, parking lots were full.
Really?
And I've read reports, and I'm looking online. A lot of people were doing online services. In fact, the president was online doing a service last night, you know.
Right.
And the reason I wanted to call in to follow up on Steve, and Steve's pretty sharp on the Chinese situation and the monetary situation. John, you and I met around just on the comeback after 2008,
yep.
I think.
That's right.
But, you know, here's my take. And I saw the $1.5 trillion, and I talked to a lot of people over the weekend. And I'm online every night with people in Southeast Asia. In our country, John, businesses mm-hmm. like you, me, whatever, we have to get the reprieve. If they're going to get the $1.5 or they're going to get $2 trillion, whatever, I think the car loans have to be postponed. I think maybe even electric companies have to help people out. You know, Dominion Power and other power companies. I think, you know, student loans on hold. Mm-hmm. You know, really things that people pay, which is every day. You know, the car loan, the house loan, whatever. Banks got to jump in. I got 17 emails, John. 17 emails from people I do business with that I make payments to. Oh, if anything's wrong, give us a call. Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen, don't call. I don't want to call you and tell you I got a cough. Mm-hmm. I want you to send me an email that we're going to have a 60-day reprieve. Because if the government's going to bail your ass out, excuse my language, I think you have to help the American people of all levels. The other thing is I was hoping that maybe this week you'd get Sean Connaughton on a hospital issue. This all goes back to another thing called Obamacare, John. You know, you do the Liberty health share every day. But, I mean, Obamacare has put a lot of strain on the hospital system, right? And then Trump came in. Mm-hmm. And this is another issue for our country. As far as Italy, my friends from Southeast Asia who travel there a lot, don't right. travel now, they told me the big issue there was they brought in a lot of Chinese who bought right. up all these companies. Pirelli Tire now is owned by China.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Bannon a couple of minutes ago kind of sidestepped that issue. But really, if you look at what's happening in Italy, they brought it on themselves. They could, you know, Trump banned all flights from China. Italy was still a flight in the workers, you know, where they're jamming into an airplane. They have the leather workers there. There was a separate economic deal that Italy made with China, and mm-hmm. they didn't act fast enough. Look, you know, we'll have to see what happens. CDC said eight weeks they recommend no gatherings over 50 people. To me, that's a message that says two things. Number one, it's going to be 8 weeks before anything is solved. And number two, this thing is probably not going to go beyond 8 or 10 weeks. Steve, thanks for being with us. Joining us now, Republican Congressman Denver Riggleman, 5th District. That's the Southside Virginia area. And he is joining us now. Congressman, thank you for your time today, sir.
How are you doing this morning, John?
Never better. I'm part of the resistance in Richmond. I haven't been to D.C. because they are limiting the number of White House press pool reporters that can go into the grounds. So I decided I'll just stay for a while here in Rich Vegas. But I defied LeVar Stoney last evening, and I went to dinner and drinks with my engineer, John McCune. Will I be put in handcuffs and carted off, Denver?
No, you will not. I think you're going to be fine.
All right. Thank you. I was concerned about that.
Do not be concerned.
Let's get to politics and then do the stimulus package and then get to what else you think needs to be done, sir. Politically, you're being challenged for renomination in a convention that is supposed to be held in the 5th District in order to get renominated in lieu of a primary. This convention that you have, there was a call last night with State Central Committee and Republicans. Apparently that is going to get pushed off or canceled or delayed. What happens, Denver?
Well, it's a pretty fluid situation, and we really don't know what happens. It's such a ridiculous way to nominate somebody through this convention process anyhow. Honestly, we should have a full primary, but that would take the legislature coming back in session. I wish to have a firehouse primary, but, you know, when you have people that want to fix an election, you know, this is the time you try to do it. And but, you know, the thing is this. I'm not thinking much about the campaign right now. I have 730,000+ people to take care of. I have Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, Green Party. Everybody's affected by this pandemic. I don't think anybody would want anybody else in charge with like me. I mean, I got a military experience, business experience. And I think a lot of people know that I'm the right guy to be here. And I get calls from everybody. And like yesterday, I was visiting businesses, using social distancing, by the way, John. But visiting businesses, seeing what's going on. And I already got businesses that are talking about Chapter 7. I got businesses that are affected by this 10-person rule that can hold 650 people. So with the governor last night, I said, hey, we need to have a square footage waiver. You have some businesses with 10 people that are 400 square feet and some that are 5,000 square feet. There's got to be a way to separate that so huge restaurants only, you know, that are locally owned can't only have 10 people. We're looking at small business interruption loans. I'm on the small business team with Kevin Brady with House Ways and Means. Also, our financial services committee is leading the charge on trying to make the markets liquid. So I'm doing the work of the people right now. The campaign is really not on my front burner right now.
Okay, let's start with your meeting with the governor last night, which would be a square footage exemption. So if you've got a restaurant that can hold 600 people, that's, you know, 5,000 square feet, two floors, why would you be limited to 10 people when that is the same restaurant that's got 400 square feet? What was his reaction to that?
He said he would look into it. You know, a lot of people were actually, you know, and I've noticed this. I haven't been in politics long. I get pretty long-winded. The questions were like 20 minutes. I said two things. Hey, Governor, I have two issues. I have so many more, but you got enough on your plate. So here's what we're going. Number one, the UVA Molecular Biology Lab has a lack of testing supplies. Drive-through clinics are taking all the supplies, and they got critical patients that can't actually be serviced right now or tested. They don't have viral collection kits. They don't have swabs. They don't have PPE. And I said, it's happening with private hospitals all over the state and also in my district. He goes, oh, my goodness, Denver, I'll look into that. I said, the second thing, Ralph, right now you have restaurants that are telling me they're going to be Chapter 7 in 2 months. These are restaurants that can hold over 600 people. You're limiting them to 10. Can we do some kind of separation or square footage mitigation policy for large restaurants? And he goes, what a great idea. So you're looking into that, too. Here's the thing. We don't know if that's finalized. That was my ideas. And I hope that it does, because right now we got to err on the side of safety. I get that. But we also can't kill mosquitoes with a sledgehammer. The government's a blunt force object. We need to be very specific in our targeting and make sure that we don't have companies and people are also in danger. If companies go down, healthcare expires. So there's a lot of other issues we got to look at as far as cascading effects.
I think you're obviously, we have to get the supplies to the hospitals that need them. That's top priority. But I love your square footage mitigation idea. I mean, that's just common sense. There's so much of this is common sense. And also, like you said, you know, no need to blow a mosquito away with a bazooka when you do it with a fly squatter. Makes no sense at all. Let's get to the business low small. Everybody now understands small business is the one that's going to get hammered. It's not the airlines that are going to get a government bailout so their CEOs can earn another $200,000 bonus at the end of April. Everybody's been down that path. Small businesses, they need the cash to survive. People don't understand. If sales go down, there's no cash to pay anybody, right? Can't pay rent, can't pay electricity, can't pay workers, can't do anything. Got to have cash. And cash is sales. So if you're shut down or you're limited, guess what? You have no cash coming in. So
no, you don't.
So in what you're doing now, give me the roadmap to get small businesses loans they need in the short term to get over whatever period this will be, 60 days, 90 days. Eventually it will end. How do we do that?
So, John, it's something called the Small Business Interruption Loan Program. Here's what happened a week ago. I was put on the working group with House Ways and Means that our ideas for business flows to Mnuchin, Secretary Mnuchin. So what happened was we had this mandated sick leave policy. I'm sure you heard of that, John, where, you know, 80 hours, right? Initially it was 112 hours, but small businesses were responsible for 80 hours of mandated sick leave, and they really and they were going to do a quarterly tax credit. My very first statement in a meeting, John, was who in the hell came up with that? Mm-hmm. You think that a small business can last 3 months with an entire sick leave mandate layoff, right, and then wait to the end of the quarter? I said that doesn't even make sense. The liquidity is going to flatten them within the first 4 weeks. And so now there's an incredible idea to go through the payroll companies. They pay it, get automatic reimbursement on mandated sick leave, right? Great. Here's the second thing, John. What happens to forced closures? You just mentioned it. You're not going to go to jail, John, but you just mentioned it. What if they force close a restaurant? My second statement was, well, how about emergency closures? There was no mitigation plan. So now we have the small business, and I'm not going to say it's my idea, but I will tell you our group worked this idea, small business interruption loans through the SBA. And what you do is you go to the SBA, you look for your county, and make sure it's designated as a disaster area, and you put in your application for a loan that covers up to 8 weeks of operating costs based on loss of revenue and employees. This is pretty incredible. Here's the issue. We have a huge bureaucracy. SBA hasn't updated their county disaster preparedness list yet. So people are going on there, right, just has just been 24 hours, and they can't apply for a loan because their county hasn't been registered. So we have over 3,000 counties. It's a massive task by SBA. They're doing the best they can. But right now, our bizarrely bureaucratic world that we've built over the last decades is really hampering our ability to streamline loans. So we're having to clear all that red tape while we're trying to help businesses simultaneously, and it's a Herculean task.
How do you do it?
Well, we're doing it. You know, $300 billion is going towards the small business interruption loans. And we're going to do that right now. Now, you'd think there's 3,000 counties. I'm doing math in public, John, so help me out here. I think $300 billion divided by 3,000 is $100 million per county for 3,000 counties. Those counties, though, have to flex based on need. You know, it's going to be different with a county with 5,000 people than, say, Orange County, California, or Loudoun County, Virginia, right, John? So now
right.
We have to prioritize based on who's hurting the worst. And a lot of that's going to be, I don't think it's going to be first come, first serve, but each county is going to have to be very careful about how they do things. But every business is going to save themselves. So I think $100 million average per county is going to be pretty good over the 2 to 3 months. I do believe that some counties might have $500 million and some might have $10 million, depending on the businesses that actually put in for hardship. However, people are going to have to know that it's a huge flex, but we're going to get it done. And I'm working that right now with the working group. And hopefully we can have a one-pager, an expedited block checking that you have this amount. If you're underneath $50,000, it's automatic. If you're over $50,000 or over $100,000, then you go to some kind of expedited process.
Okay, so you're looking for access cash to small businesses in the form of a loan immediately and cut through the paperwork. That's the same thing that Job Creators Network is trying to do. Same thing Ben Klein talked about. Nobody's telling me, though, how we're going to get there.
Yeah, so there's a website. So SBA is going to have a disaster preparedness button. It's already there. You go and you actually go through the application process. Once you get to the county portion, by the way, I've already done this, so I can talk to it. Once you go there, you look at your county for your state. You click on there and you automatically put in the application. When it allows you to go past that screen, based on the fact that your county's been identified as a actual emergency or disaster area. That will be updated, I hope, in the next 72 hours. So what people do is they go to the SBA website, do not go to your bank, and you apply right through the SBA website for your small business interruption loan. So that's how you do it. You don't have to go to your bank. Now, the banks are going to be liquid too, though, John. So you can go to your bank for conventional or SBA loans also, because right now we had a $1 trillion repo buy, and you're going to have another $1 trillion drop here in the next week or so. So the banks are going to be pretty liquid right now. So we want to make sure that people can go and actually defer payments, but also go and get conventional or SBA loans for a refi to actually take any type of equity out they need on the top of that. So there's a multi-pronged approach here. Make sure you go through the SBA website for the small business interruption loans and talk to your bank about deferment on payments and for any type of conventional loan where you can cash out equity.
Where's this money coming from?
This money's coming from the taxpayer. You're talking about a lot of this bailout money is, but now the loan money, you know, is going to be money that's paid back, right, at a very low interest or 0% interest, right? So that's good. But when you're talking about monies like $500 billion for two tranches of economic impact payments to people, that's taxpayer money. And so we're going to definitely have a 2 to 3% GDP loss a negative growth over the next quarter is my guess, or next two quarters. And we're going to have to somehow recoup a lot of this. And it's going to be difficult, but it's certainly going to balloon our debt and deficit as we go forward right now.
So what are you calling this? This is called the SBA Small Business Disaster Loan. Is that what it's called?
It's called the Small Business Interruption Loan.
Small Business SBIO. Interruption Loan.
That's correct. And you can go through SBA on that. And we also have economic impact payments that are being talked about now at $250 billion tranches. But there's also the severely distressed sector loans of $150 billion. When you have sectors that just go into the hole so quickly based on the pandemic, that's another $150 billion. Anything, there's going to be some flex up, down on that. So between $1 and $1.2 trillion over the $80 billion inject we've already had into the economy.
So you're going to have a total financial package here, let's just call it that, of over $2 trillion.
When you talk about the repo market, which really isn't tax money, that's the repo market is going liquid through purchasing of certain types of paper in the Fed. You're talking about, actually, John, I think when this is all said and done, you're going to see between $3 to $5 trillion in injects and also liquidity buys to keep the economy going for the next 3 to 6 months.
And then what happens after that?
Well, you know, we got to get a handle and flatten this curve. If the curve is still high after that and we have a long-term prospect, we're going to have to see about some kind of restructuring of loans. We got a call tonight with the International Monetary Fund worldwide, since I am on the Financial Services Committee. I think that's why people want me here. You know, with my business and military background, I have the ability to have these conversations at a very high level and also a very complex level. So we're talking to the IMF tonight. We're going to look at long-term planning. But I would, you know, tell people that after 6 months, you're talking about a completely different planning exercise at that point.
So last night in China, for the first time, there were no overnight infections growth, zero. They had eight new coronavirus cases, all eight of the seven or eight. All of them came from Chinese nationals that got it in Europe and came back. They're being quarantined now. So for the first time, China, 3 million people, they didn't have any spread of the coronavirus, none, zero. Virginia, we went from 68 to 77, which is about a 13% increase. That's down from the 20 and 25% we were getting every day. Could this be over in the end of May? Is this possible that we go into the summer and everything is back to the way it was?
Yeah, I mean, the end of May is best case, and it's possible. Really what we're looking at, too, is what if this goes into the end of July, early August? Again, a lot of that has to do with, you know, people being careful about, you know, where they're at, who they're interacting with, and their symptoms, right? And so I think, you know, if I had to say, I think by the end of May, if we're successful with people listening to health guidelines, it's possible. But I would humbly submit to people, there's no need to panic, but be vigilant. And ensure that you're taking care of your family on the health side, and pay attention to the programs coming out. And if you need help, my website updates every day, riggleman.house.gov. And what I did, John, was I created an emergency response team to put up data as quickly as possible and to react to people as fast as we can. Just be patient. We have 18 people trying to react to 730,000 people. But we're doing the best we can, and our website's a very good resource right now.
Now, look, you guys are doing an excellent job, and I really appreciate, Denver, what you and your team is doing to try to keep people updated. And, again, the biggest issue we've got right now is panic and hysteria. A lot of that is getting fueled by the media, a lot of the nonsense going out there. All right, let me ask two other quick questions. The president getting roundly criticized for calling this the Chinese virus. In fact, your colleagues on the Democratic side want to have a press conference on it. They're so upset that the president is calling this the Chinese virus. What say you?
A lot of Chinese lobbyists. I mean, listen, that's rubbish. We called it the West Nile virus. I mean, you know, you call it from where it actually originated. That's how even the World Health Organization classified it. So that's a non-issue, and it shouldn't be what we're concentrating on right now. We should be concentrating on the health aspects of this and the economic aspects of this, having a clear-eyed plan, making sure that people are informed, and not creating hysteria for political reasons, which it seems like the Democrats, and lately that's all they're good for. Let's go ahead and have a bipartisan plan and work forward. And by the way, in district, we're not seeing any of that. This is an artificial issue. I've had incredible people call me, and I was talking to somebody the other day, John, and she said moderate Democrat. She goes, but thank you for the help that you're giving everybody. And that's the thing, is that people are working together right now in this bizarre sort of infantile attack on where it comes from. It's an indicator that maybe that the far left has captured some of the zeitgeist of the Democratic Party.
Reform FISA. Where does Denver Riggleman stand?
Well, with the transparency that we had in FISA right now, we put in, Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, all of us did an incredible job trying to get a FISA that sort of went down the middle with a lot of the transparency reforms. The re-auth coming out of the Senate, I don't know if it has that transparency in there. Here's the thing. I'm against a straight reauthorization of FISA. I think that's dangerous without the transparency guidelines that the president was supporting and I was supporting, to be honest with you. Here's the issue, though. Do we get rid of FISA? Do we play politics with FISA when we're being attacked on the cyber side and critical infrastructure side during a time of vulnerability? The hard thing about making a decision, and you know I've been always blunt and honest with you, John, is that do we actually not do a FISA re-off because of the lack of transparency guidelines at this time, or do we reauthorize it and then work on it after we get through this crisis? These are the questions and answers you have to ask as somebody who cares about the people but also cares about the security of the country when we're very vulnerable. So those are the decisions we have to make. And if this was a regular time, I would not vote for a straight FISA reauthorization without the transparency. I would say all of the concerns were, not all of them, but most of the concerns for transparency were addressed in the reauthorization we voted on in the House. But if it's a straight re-off, not in this time, I would not vote for it. But right now, we might have to move on, do it, and make sure we're protecting our country the best we can while we're vulnerable.
Or maybe put a timeline on it so you revisit it again when you have the time to focus.
Yeah, sunset it in a year.
12 months.
Yep.
Yeah. 12, so yep. Then when it comes back up, you guys will have the and gals will have the time to really tear into it. I can see where you might be a little distracted now with the coronavirus and everything else going on. Denver Riggleman, I'm out of time. I want to thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your candor, your forthrightness, your hard work, and for your fighting for small businesses. You're unique because you were in the military, you were in Intel, but you also ran a small business in Virginia, signed in front of paychecks, made payroll, fought the bureaucracy, fought through banks and everything else, so you understand how this works. Very unique position. A lot of the colleagues that you meet with up there never have owned a business, never ran a business, never got a loan, never had to meet payroll, never had cash flow stress. And I tell you what, you look at deaths of the old people on coronavirus. Look, we want to minimize all of it, but we don't fix this crisis. The people that are going to die from stress and opioid addiction and alcohol addiction is going to blow your mind away, right? That's what people are forgetting here. Here start people having people that own businesses that can't make payroll, can't pay rent, can't keep the electricity on. They're pacing every single day trying to figure out how to put food on the table as their business goes down. You have no idea the stress that is, the strokes that come from it. I mean, it's huge.
Let me tell you, our family's under tremendous stress because not only am I trying to help 730,000 people, I got my wife's business to save on both of our locations. And, you know, friends that bought DOD companies are calling me like, Denver, help. And I can hear the fear in their voice.
Sure.
Listen, you know, my job is to actually put the people of the 5th District even ahead of my own family. And it's been one of the most difficult things. If they call me to D.C. in the middle of a coronavirus, my family's suffering, I'm going. Because my job is to help the people of the 5th. This is a service job. And, you know, the great thing about my experience is that I have gone through this craziness before when it comes to critical mission planning during times of chaos. And that's one thing. I think my superpower, John, is able to keep my head and take amazing amounts of punishment and keep going forward. And that's what people, I think, want in a congressman, is just somebody who's just trying to serve. And I'll just do my best, John. And I just want people to take care of their families, give them a hug. But, you know, if you have to social distance, you know, air hug them. But, you know, make sure that, you know, the love for your family outweighs everything else. And if you do that, you're going to make great decisions. And don't panic. You do have people who care. And
Talk Radio, AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. The Senate has refused to advance the coronavirus rescue package in a procedural vote with Democrats, rejecting a draft from Republicans and pushing for more aid for workers. Negotiations expected to continue into the evening. Coronavirus has arrived in the United States Senate. Rand Paul of Kentucky says he's tested positive for COVID-19. That's the disease caused by the virus. The Kentucky Republican, the first member of the Senate to report testing positive. A Trump administration official says illegal border crossings have dropped by half as the strictest U.S.-Mexico border policies yet went into place amid the coronavirus pandemic. And the IOC will look at postponing the Tokyo Olympics during 4 weeks of talks amid mounting criticism by athletes and sports officials during the coronavirus pandemic. The leader of the International Track and Field became the latest to call for games to be postponed. This is SRN News.
Don't let your home be invaded this season with rats and mice. Keep them away the most humane way with Plug-In Pest Free, 100% chemical-free, totally safe for your family and pets, and environmentally friendly. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, the electromagnetic pest control device that has been scientifically tested and consumer-proven since 1995. Now that's fair dinkum. With a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 2-year manufacturer's warranty, what have you got to lose? Stop inviting unwanted rodents and pests in with baits. Say goodbye to traps and start saving money today with Plug-In Pest Free. Order yours now at gopestfree.com and save 20% with promo code SAVE20. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Are you ready to start saving money? Gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Your forecast calling for a chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening. A rain chance of about 30%, then becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 65. For your Monday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., then becoming partly sunny with a high near 87.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
There's warm weather ahead, and that means working hard and playing hard outdoors. So let Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant has almost a dozen flavors of wings. Specials like 100 Jumbo Shrimp for just $34.99, plus the original Chrono Gyros, Oyster Shrimp, and more. The new Classic Chicken Sandwich is just $3.99. Discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, on Facebook at Z-Best The Original.
Are you worried about working till you drop, losing your job, or not being able to retire? Lifestyles Unlimited members learn how to leave those worries behind. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show and discover life-changing information, like the principles we use to provide for our families and run our businesses, why you should have real estate in your portfolio, 5 ways real estate makes you money, and a whole lot more.
Weeknights at 9 on WBOB, AM 600 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
The John Frederick Show.
Very quickly, let's get to Adrian in RVA. Adrian in Richmond, you're on the air.
Hey, John, good morning. Thanks for having me back real quick. First of all, I wanted to ask you a quick question on this plan. I own a small business, and it's in a startup business, and I have myself and a part-timer working for me. Would that plan help me out? Would help me, keep my employee as well? Do you know that kind of information or knowledge on something like that? Something
well, it hasn't been tested, but it is designed exactly for you. So basically, it would give you, it would do three things. If you have to lay your employee off, your employee will be able to access unemployment benefits immediately from the federal government. so they don't look for another job. That would be number one. Number two, what it would do is if you need – we're assuming this thing is 4, 6, 8 weeks. So it would allow you access to a short-term, basically very low or interest-free loan that will be paid back over a period of time. So if you need, you know, $5,000, $10,000 to stabilize your business for 8 weeks, you're going to have access to that. You know, meantime, you keep working from home. You do whatever you need. It's not like you're incapacitated. But those are two of the things that are out there. Until the final bill passes, though, it's all speculative.
Right. Now, and I just want to be clear because I've heard a lot of you know this and that. So I know you bring it, and you have more knowledge, and I trust your with your information. All right, now I'm going to go on my rant. I didn't get to listen to you yesterday. I was kind of busy doing some things, but you know, I'm starting to really wonder what Democrats. And when I say Democrats, I'm not talking about the politicians. I'm talking about the people right now. And I'm not dogging or trying to belittle the Democrats, but you know, these Democrats follow and love all these celebrities. They love Minnie Mike. They love all these people, and not one of them has gone out and helped and try to reach out to Steve Harvey's of the world, the Minnie Mikes, all these guys who claim they love their liberals, they love their Democrats, and they all hate Trump. But yet, not one of them picked up anything to help out the communities. At least I haven't heard anything. And also, I heard a rant not yesterday, but I think it was this weekend of Elizabeth Warren, as you call it, Lady Macbeth, talking about. That the Republicans are acting too slow when she was out there campaigning for months.
She didn't do, you know what? You are right. She didn't do crap. Okay, when Trump put the quarantine on that cruise, she criticized that on the campaign trail. She's such a phony. When the president stopped flights coming in from China, she called it xenophobia and racist. She was out campaigning. She didn't do jack crap, Lady Macbeth. And then, when she got to Washington, instead of being concerned about the coronavirus, you know what she was doing? She was on the impeachment trial trying to impeach the president. She is full of crap. I don't really care what she says. She did nothing. She's full of baloney.
They're all full of crap, man, and I agree with. I heard Colonel was talking earlier. I agree with what he's saying. And none of the people who have big money are out there doing nothing, and that's just sad. They talk about and claim how they care and they love, and these people say that we shouldn't call the Chinese virus. Well, we are going to call it Chinese virus. It's nothing against the people who live in this country that are American and have descendants from China. That's not who we're talking about. Right. This thing came from China. We got to call it what it is. And I agree with the president. I'm glad we have a president that punches back and not afraid to say what he has to say. There's more truth coming out of this president than I've ever seen in my lifetime, at least. At least he's not afraid to say things and do things, and I appreciate it, man.
You know, the Democrats like Bill Maher were banking on this to finally take Trump down, calling it the Trump virus, saying that, you know, thank God we're going to have a recession. That's going to end his presidency. Guess what? It's going to backfire on them, like impeachment backfired, like everything they do was backfired. It's going to backfire on it. This economy is going to come roaring back like a bat out of hell. It's going to be phenomenal in the third quarter. He's going to get reelected based on his leadership. And you know what? These people like Bill Maher who get on TV who are cheering a virus and cheering a depression, these people are sick. John Fredericks, Radio Network. Thank you. Adrian RVA got me started. Joining us now, Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager, Trump campaign 2016, now senior advisor to Trump Pence 2020. Hey, Corey, great to have you.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you today.
Okay, pandemic. I know you've been spending a lot of time, like all of us, at home with your family. Give us a breakdown here. I mean, the President Trump acting faster than anybody imagined. Remember when he was the first one to shut down the airlines and travelers coming in from China? Remember it was Joe Biden who called him a xenophobe, a racist. He was widely criticized. Now, that was the absolute right thing to do. Corey, can you break this down for us?
You know, John, what we have now seen as a response from our government has been nothing but heroic. And what I mean by that is the early decision by this president, the administration, to reduce the flights coming from overseas, and then taking the swift action, which because we learn from other countries, is imperative in slowing down the curve, is what is going to set the United States apart from the rest of the world. Do we have problems? Of course we do, John. We've seen that thousands of people have been infected by the coronavirus. We know that if you have an autoimmune deficiency, an immune deficiency, or you're an elderly person, you are much more at risk for critical care. So what this president has asked for, and by and large what the American people are responding to, is social distancing, meaning if you don't feel well, don't go into work. If you can work from home, please do so. If you have the opportunity to stay 6 feet away from other individuals for the fear that you may either have the virus and not know it or could potentially catch it from somebody else, the president and the administration is doing everything possible to alert the individuals that we need to control this as quickly as possible. And what we are seeing from other countries is the additional cases of the coronavirus are actually on the downward spiral, new cases. And so by social distancing and by slowing things down in the country right now, we are going to feel the economic impact, but we're going to be vastly better at controlling this pandemic than some of our friends and our allies around the rest of the world.
There's no question about it. If you look at our curve right now, it's a lot better than some of those in Europe that wouldn't take action. We have, Corey, you've been following the rules or following the suggestions, the edicts, so have I. I worked from home the past 7 days. Finally, I got to Richmond, haven't been in Washington in a week and a half. And, you know, there's a lot of changes being made. Restaurants closed down, a lot of people out of work. Looks like the Senate's got a $1.4 trillion package on the table. It started at $900. Now we understand it's up today to $1.4 trillion. Is that a necessary step? And if we do that, can we get ourselves out of this relatively quickly, you think?
Well, John, it's not just about spending money, because the spend of money is not indicative of our ability to get ourselves out of this. What the spending of money is doing is reassuring the American people that if you don't feel well, don't go into work. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck or you're an hourly employee, the U.S. government is going to make sure you continue to receive the compensation you need so that we are controlling the spread of this pandemic. Very important. Look, my concern as a fiscal conservative always is this bill being bloated and jammed with things that don't directly help the fighting of this pandemic? And I don't know, because it's a massive spending bill. I do think we're going to see industries that are greatly impacted, not just the airline industry and the cruise ship industry, but think about anybody who does business at airports. Those travelers, those small restaurants out of there, those bookstores out of there, obviously air travel is way down. So we're going to see all of those places impacted. And moreover, you know, we see even the ride-sharing applications like Lyft and Uber. We've seen that their numbers have dropped off considerably because people don't want to be in close proximity to others that they don't know. So we are going to see an economic downturn. We know the president wants to do everything possible to ensure that the people who are directly impacted on a financial basis are compensated within the right way to do it. But I always worry, John, that we see a $1 trillion spending bill, and who knows what's in it, because we know when the last House bill went through, we know that Speaker Pelosi was trying to fill that with $1 billion for abortion money, which has obviously nothing to do with the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, and look, you're also going to get an element of fraud and waste. I mean, that just goes. I think the estimate is no matter what government passes, if it's one of these spending bills, 30 to 35% of it is just fraud. It's just they factor it in. That's how bad it is. But I tell you what, yesterday, Corey, like cockroaches, the K Street lobbyists were running around the halls of Congress trying to get their favorite companies bailed out. One of them is they're asking the president to bail out Las Vegas casinos. Look, I went through this in 2008. Casinos make bajillions of dollars. I mean, why are we bailing out casinos? Why is it even part of this thing?
You know, John, what I think what the casinos argument is is that the state is forcing them to close. And I don't think it's – look, I don't know the specifics, but my larger issue is this. A lot of the people who work at those casinos or at the hotels are hourly employees. And if we need to put money in for the travel and tourism industry, for hotels and restaurants,
right,
that those hourly wage workers are no longer be able to come to work because the occupancy rate in a hotel has dropped in Vegas to probably, I'm making this up, 5% occupancy,
right,
then, you know, then yes, we do need to take care of those hourly wage workers. I don't favor handing a big check over to a casino owner,
right,
who, you know, is going to get rich, but I do think we have to take care of the employees,
right,
who are impacted by this. They're two very separate things.
Right. No, you're spot on. I agree with that 100%. You take care of the employees, try to keep them whole. They still have to pay rent. They're living the paycheck to paycheck. But I think Sheldon Adelman has enough money for now, quite candidly. And having gone through this in 2008, where the beneficiaries were banks, Wall Street, gangster banksters, Goldman Sachs, you know, I've kind of been down that path once. I don't think we want to go down there again. Corey Lewandowski with us, senior advisor, Trump Pence 2020. Corey, let's get to some politics here and the politics of the coronavirus. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but it's real, and we have to deal with it. How does this affect the Trump campaign, Trump Pence 2020, in your view?
Well, John, clearly, you know, the campaign has decided to do virtual events as opposed to doing the large-scale rallies that the president has been known for and accustomed to doing. So we'll be doing virtual events instead so that we can continue to practice that social distancing. And really, you know, for political hacks like myself and many others out there, it's almost put us on a pause. Now, did we follow the debate from a couple nights ago with Biden and Sanders? Of course we did. Do we anxiously await the election results in Florida last night and other places? Of course we did. But it's very difficult as a campaign person when you've got a national problem, an international problem, such as the size and the scope that we're dealing with right now, to be out politicking. And what I mean by that is out bashing your opponent and trying to show the differences between your philosophies and theirs, because by and large, people aren't focused on that. And look, the election is still a fair distance away, and the priority of this administration right now is not, you know, politics. It is people and policy, and that's what this president is doing. And so from a campaign side, we have the opportunity to work from home like many other people. We have the opportunity to continue to do conference calls and video conferencing and things like that to talk ideas and strategies. But I don't think you're going to see anybody from the campaign doing bus tours or doing direct interaction with other individuals right now until we know that this pandemic has slowed down.
Corey, let me ask you this. The Trump campaign has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on digital platforms. I mean, they're way ahead of the DNC and the Biden campaign. How much of that, as we go forward in the next, at least, I guess, 6 to 8 weeks in limiting social distancing, how critical will that be?
Well, I think it's very critical because what we're seeing, John, is people are consuming information in a very different manner. And the difference now is with people being in their homes as opposed to their workplace, they're relying more and more on their computers or very candidly, their smartphones to receive their information. And so as they're surfing their smartphones and they're looking at these what we call pre-roll ads, they're forced ads that, you know, you're required to watch if you want to go to a certain website. Maybe they're 15 seconds, maybe they're 30 seconds. That's going to be the opportunity to directly interact with those individuals on the campaign side. And it should give us a large advantage. Well, we now know that Joe Biden is going to be the Democratic nominee. It looks like he secured enough delegates based on his elections last night. The truth is, direct communication with individuals has always been a comparative advantage that the campaign has had because we've had the opportunity to build it over the last 4 years. And we've done a very good job of that. So we will see that come to fruition now over the next 3 and 4 months when less and less people are interacting and when more and more people are focused on the news of the day, which seems to be the stock market and our response to the coronavirus.
And every day, Corey, we're getting the updates. They're coming almost by the minute. Who got infected with it?
some celebrity did, how many people in what state, how many people died, what the futures are doing in Europe. And I was commenting earlier, I just want to get your take on this. Coming up here today to Richmond, I was about 2 hours in the car between 4 and 6 a.m. I had on Bloomberg News, then I switched to CNN on the news. All I got was doomsday reporting. I mean, you would have thought after this 2 hours, the world was going to end at 6 p.m. I mean, everybody just running around with their hair on fire. The media companies trying to one-up each other on bad news. Is this part of the issue, fueling the hysteria, why people are wiping stores out?
Well, look, I think, you know, the president talked about this a little bit. And what he said was, hey, do your neighbors a favor and don't go and stockpile things that you don't need, because obviously the stores right now are doing everything they can to resupply as quickly as possible. And I do think at the onset, the media fed into this narrative that the world is coming to an end immediately, and that didn't help the case. Mm-hmm. And now what we've seen, you know, John, in full credit to Dana Bash at CNN,
right,
who praised the president's response. For Governor Cuomo of New York, he has praised the president and this administration's response. Same with Gavin Newsom in California. Mm-hmm. Not traditional allies of this president, to be clear.
Right.
But when you've got two leading Democratic governors of big states like New York and California, respectively, saying that the team in this administration has been available morning, noon, and night, mm-hmm, to respond and help them deal with this, that should cut across partisan lines, obviously. And it should allow the mainstream media to say, hey, you know what? We know we're all in this together, but it looks like this administration has stepped up to this challenge. And let's try and quell the fears of some of the people. You know, we saw that Kevin Durant, the basketball player, has coronavirus. And you're right, John. It looks like every minute of every day now, we're seeing another person who is diagnosed with this. And remember, and your listeners have to remember this, just because you're diagnosed with the coronavirus doesn't mean you have a fatal infliction. If you are a healthy individual, you are going to, by and large, be fine. The concern is for those people who are elderly or have an immune problem in their system or have recently come out of a surgery and aren't fully up to par. So, look, we're going to see thousands or tens of thousands of people infected with this virus. But that does not mean that a guy like Kevin Durant, who is a famous basketball player, who I would assume is a fairly healthy individual, is at risk of dying because he's caught this virus. And so this is a serious influenza-like virus that directly impacts those people who are either elderly or have an immune deficiency, which can't fight off the virus as quickly as possible. So we know that. But we also have to stop the potential panic and recognize that whether you like or don't like this administration, by every account, from the Democrat governors to the Republican governors, they're saying that this administration is doing everything possible to aid the people of this country.
Corey Lewandowski with us. He's senior advisor now to the Trump campaign, Pence Trump 2020. Corey, let's go to November. A lot of our listeners very concerned. Look, if you're a Trump supporter a month ago, right, Trump is going to win in a landslide. Economy was booming. We got the new jobs numbers out. They were incredible. They were 30% over what anybody thought they'd be. Consumer spending and confidence was up. Every indicator was positive. The trade deals, the tariffs with China were working. Economy was pumping on eight cylinders. Now, not so much. We're talking about recession, depression, etc. Honestly, as an advisor of the campaign, what is this going to do to Trump 2020's reelection chances? I know it's an uncomfortable question during a crisis.
John, it's a very fair question, right? And you've always been very fair. And look, I think any outside observer or those on the inside are looking at the way the president is handling this and making the determination, are we going to be better off, you know, because of the leadership of this president or not? And look, this president has been the economy president. We have seen under his administration in the last 3.5 years, record growth in the stock market. But in the last month, we've seen that record growth get rescinded. We've seen the Dow now drop somewhere between 25 and 35%. There was another wild swing yesterday with the Dow up 1,000, you know, and down 3,000 the day before that. So we've got clearly investor concerns. Mm-hmm. That means the American people are concerned. And so, look, did I like our position in February when the Dow was continuing to reach record levels about the president's reelection effort? You bet I did. Did we ever for one second rely on our laurels and sit back and say, this thing is in the bank? Never, never, never. Does this potentially make it more difficult? Well, sure it does. But I still like to look at the totality of what this president's been able to accomplish. The deregulation, the rebuilding of our military, the renegotiation of bad trade deals, all of those things factor into hopefully a voter's decision in November to go to the ballot box and decide who they're going to support. And look, we have to see the next 60 to 90 days is going to be critical. If the American people listen to the administration and they continue the social distancing and we see this curve dramatically fall off, which is what the experts are telling us, Fauci and the experts are telling us that, if we adhere to that and we get a quick recovery, obviously it's going to help. But we now see that the president has authorized significant amounts of money to be pumped into the system, including the purchase to fill the strategic petroleum reserves at rock-bottom prices right now. Gas is, I think, at a 17-year low. So, look, we have to make sure we're doing everything. But, John, I think it's just too early to see what the overall impact of the coronavirus is on the economy and on our country. But, you know, that's where we're going, and that's what people are going to look at when they show up at the ballot box.
Exactly. Corey Lewandowski, I think you're right. I'm thinking 6-8 weeks, this is over. I would hate to see this drag on into the summer. I mean, right now, obviously, people hurting on spring break. You just feel sorry for all these little shopkeepers and everything else. And small businesses, small bars that, you know, don't really have the resources. Hopefully, this $1.4 trillion that we're going to pass in some way is going to be an asset to them. But the fear that everybody has is this thing drags on, this self-quarantine, everything stays closed into the summer. There's a lot of people depend on that as well. So hopefully we can get through this. But look, bottom line, I've only got a minute. The president has done everything possible to make this as successful of a time as he can, from getting the money to stopping the flights from China to now banning flights from Europe, giving the governors and the mayors the power to do whatever they want, decentralizing it. Now we're going to have a spending bill. I don't know what more he can do.
Look, John, I don't know what more he can do either, but whatever we can do, we must do, right? That's what it comes down to. Whatever we can do to stop this from continuing, we must do, which means we unite as a country. We're the strongest, greatest country in the world. We put partisan politics aside right here. We make sure that the states have the resources they need, that they have the respirators and the testing kits available for every state, so that if people feel that they have a virus or they're contaminated, they go and get tested, and then they're self-quarantining. That's what we must do. But at the end of the day, John, we can only do that with the help of the American people, who have to understand the severity of what is transpiring right now.
Corey Lewandowski, thank you for being with us. Corey, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
John Fredericks, Radio Network.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime.